Welcome to the Young Crones Cafe, where you can get a magic brew full of all sorts of information, both witchy and practical.
Grab a cup and join us. I'm Elizabeth, a wordsmith.
And I'm Sue, a visual artist.
We are going to talk about various witchcraft and life topics from a slightly more mature perspective, at least most of the time.
Thanks so much for joining us. On the path, which is the name for our personal witchcraft practices, we have spent a great deal of time discussing what we believe and why. These conversations led to the writing of a book full of information about our tradition. We call these thoughts kernels because they are the start of much bigger ideas. We thought we'd share some of these with you, so
today's metaphysical kernel of thought is, what is a young crone? According to the dictionary, a crone is defined as a cruel or ugly old woman. Historically, older people were respected in their cultures because of their accumulated wisdom and knowledge gained through life experiences. However, modern society doesn't value older people like it did in the past for several reasons. First, there seems to be an obsession with remaining young and beautiful as long as possible, which is encouraged by television, movies, and social media. Crones have also gained a reputation as evil witches. Consider Disney's Snow White, where the crone, read witch here, made sure that she got that poisoned apple. Many modern witches and pagans work with a triplicity they learn the terms the maiden, mother, and crone. Some relate this to their personal concept of a goddess, while others use it to describe the various phases of the moon. While we do not believe in these in our own practice, we have chosen to work with what we consider a crone form of energy because it matches who and where we are on the path. We on the path consider ourselves young crones and are working to reclaim the word to represent something positive for ourselves and our lives because we have each been practicing around 20 years. We are still young in heart, mind, and spirit, even though we haven't been 20-somethings for quite some time. We choose to define a crone as someone who has gained much experience in some area of spiritual practice or life itself. This means we don't believe that being a crone means you have to be a certain older age, but what makes a person a crone is having spent the time and effort to learn and become somewhat of an expert in a particular area. Okay, you and I are crones. Let's get that out of the way first as you think about it in terms of the traditional definition. We're not 20-somethings. We're not even 30 or 40-somethings if we truly do it. And so we have certain limitations, health-wise, physical-wise, that may restrict some of our movement. We don't dance naked around the bonfire anymore.
Okay. No, yeah. We don't, especially now in the winter.
No, but even in the summer.
I know.
Let's be honest, we have been known to pull out the sacred flashlight when we're outside because it's a little difficult to read the small print by candlelight. You know, I mean, I think that's one of the big negatives associated with the word crone. Is it seen as a little old lady who's all bent over and can't do shit anymore?
Well, it's seen specifically from an age format and not from anything else.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I don't care that we have to print our rituals in large type.
No. Exactly. It's all about adapting. You work with what you got. You know, I know some 20-somethings who have debilitating physical things so that you have to change how you may practice your craft physically.
Right.
But mentally and spiritually, we're just as alive and vital, if not more so, the older we get, I think, because we're more patient in some ways.
Well, and there are those 20-somethings that we meet, you know, 20, 30, that have put in enough time and their own effort and have really
gained that knowledge, because croneship is the acceptance of the information that you have gleaned and used.
Mm-hmm. It's a wealth of practice and experience in a particular yes. area. And I think that's where you and I kind of coined the phrase, a young crone.
Yes.
Because in order to do what we do, we have to stay, for want of a better word, young at heart and mind and spirit, and being willing to accept new ideas. Older people who are not willing to do that are the ones who might be get the negative connotation of the idea of crone, because you get limited. And if you refuse to limit yourself in those ways, that I don't know it all, and I'm going to seek out somebody who is an expert in a particular area of something.
Right. Well, you're right. That knowledge and experience doesn't end at a certain time. You know, anybody can get stuck in a rut, but being able to make that declaration that, yes, I'm open. I want to learn. I want to keep changing. I want to keep growing. And that's the young crone part.
Well, I think that's part of it. And then the other piece is, we don't place a limit on you're too young to be so good at something.
True.
That's the other part about being a young crone. It acknowledges that there are people much younger than us who know vastly more about certain areas of practice than we ever will, because that's been their own focus, and they were driven in a way to find it. So they are the experts. They are the crones. And I like what we wrote in terms of reclaiming the word. I blame Disney for a lot of this. I really do. I mean, his evil people in Cinderella and Snow White and all those fairy tales were always these ugly crone-like figures.
Yes.
You know, it's like this, it's like the Wizard of Oz, where the evil witches were all green. You know, or you have to be green to be a witch or something equally good. I had a grandchild who firmly told me that when she was much younger, that I couldn't be a witch because I wasn't green. Literally, you know.
So yeah, exactly.
People get these stereotype ideas from that. And I also kind of resent those who practice in terms of it's a triplicity, maiden, mother, crone. And you have, as a woman, or anyone who identifies as being female, regardless, you have to be at a certain life stage. And yes. if you're not there emotionally or mentally based on age, I mean, who says that at a certain age you're supposed to be a mother?
Well, my uterus doesn't get to decide where I am on my spiritual path.
Exactly.
Well, and also I'm someone who has not had children in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. Although there are many ways in which that mothering instinct has come out in my life, but it's not how I define myself in any terms.
Exactly. And who says mothering and those caretaker instincts, as it were, are strictly a feminine trait?
Exactly.
I have known some great caretakers over the years who were probably more filled with testosterone than anything else. You know, so that we try not to limit. I know over the years there was some connotation too where they tried to define the different stages of a life in, of a man in the terms of that mage, mother, and crone, and they made the crone a sage. Now, mm-hmm. if you look at the traditional definition of a sage, other than the herb, which everybody has at least a vague acquaintance with that definition, it basically means the accumulated wisdom and the ability to make sound judgments. Okay. Within the pagan community, if an elderly, more older person, how's that, is considered a crone as a woman with, okay, now you're all dried up in a husk, kind of, but right. a guy gets to be called a sage, where he's full of wisdom and sound judgment. Where does in the job description of a crone does not say we hopefully haven't accumulated some sound judgment? Sometimes.
Yeah.
Didn't say all the time.
Well, for a lot of history, women have been defined by their reproductive role, and that was it. And so sad to think that women still define themselves that way, that when they hit menopause or whatever, they feel that their life is over, that they can't have children anymore. I mean, I know it's an emotional thing and it's a stage of life, but we put those terms have much more power than they need to in certain areas.
Well,
and it's sexist.
Well, sure it is. And hopefully we're outgrowing that.
Oh, I hope so.
I think that's why you and I look at things differently sometimes, is we refuse to be limited by sexism, ageism, any other isms out there. And personally, I don't care how you define yourself, as long as you're happy in your relationship with yourself and others, and you're not going around acting like an asshat and deliberately hurting people. You know, I don't know. I think sometimes you and I, one of the reasons we have always connected so well is that we seem to have missed some of those biases when they were handed out. Or we looked at them and the way we were raised and are like, no. No.
No. Yeah. You and I both will take something and say, well, says who?
Pretty much.
You know?
And I think that's the perfect definition of a young crone. Mm-hmm. Says who made you the ultimate, you name it, authority figure about this, the ultimate source of wisdom.
Mm-hmm. And the only one that can say that is you.
Well, one would hope so.
Yeah. And I have to tell you that since we first started our business, the reaction that I've gotten from people when I tell them, yes, my BFF and I started a business, it's called Two Young Crones, I get the most positive response from everybody, male, female, no matter what age, unless they're young enough that they don't really understand what a crone is. Even in our society and our definition, it's just been a very positive and conversation starting opportunity.
I agree. And I think, like I said, if we define a crone as an expert in something, mm-hmm. okay, some area of life, that doesn't necessarily have to be witchcraft related either. You know, some area where you have knowledge and expertise, then you are a crone because you have that knowledge and expertise.
You know, I would put it even further. You don't even necessarily have to have it. You have to desire it.
And be working on it.
Yes, desire. I'm working on being a young crone.
Well, desire without action doesn't get you anywhere. We all have desires where, I don't know, I desire to be 50 pounds lighter, but unless I change my eating habits or start walking more or doing all the things that I know will allow me to lose 50 pounds, I can desire all I want, but nothing's going to change.
Yeah.
I'm not going to become an expert on taking care of myself more, which I guess is a good example. You know?
I think there's just some things you just can't do.
No, and that's okay today too. I think part of being a crone is when you have wisdom and expertise in some areas, you recognize there's things you can't change.
Right.
And that you need outside help if you want to learn about things. I am not the ultimate teacher, and I'm also not the ultimate learner. There are times when I can try to learn something by myself and try as I might, I'm just not going to get the hang of it. And I need to seek out somebody who's an expert who can teach me in a way that makes sense
to me.
And there may be things I will not, and I also have to accept part of being a crone and accepting your own limitations, is recognizing there are things I am never going to be an expert in. Mm-hmm. Or there are things I want to learn about that I just won't get to.
Right. You know, when I was like 10 and I was already 5'7", I knew I was not going to ever be a ballerina or a jockey. You know, it just wasn't in the cards for me.
Yeah, no, I get it, because I am never going to be 5'7". So I'm never going to play basketball or reach things from the top shelf of the cabinets in any house I've ever lived without a step stool or somebody tall. Like, get that for me. You know, yell for a grandchild. Somebody's put this on the top shelf. I need it. Get it down. You know, And I think another best part about being a young crone is that accepting piece of, there are things that I'm never going to get to, I'm never going to be able to do, and that's okay. I have expertise over here, and my expertise in this area can blend with your expertise in this area, mm-hmm. and we can find a way to use both of those pieces to learn about new stuff.
Absolutely, and that's the new stuff is unlimited. That there is no end in sight to the things that we want to learn about and grow and, you know, experience.
I think so.
And that mindset is that young crone mindset.
Exactly. I think that's one of the best definitions I've heard, is the willingness to want to learn something. It all has to start with that desire. And then you figure out how to make it happen based on your own personal limitations or lack of knowledge and experience in something. And I think that's a good way to wind that up. A young crone has nothing to do with age, but experience. And a certain amount of eccentricity has to come into play, because we're not exactly on the leading edge of cultural significance, I guess is a good word, as it's currently defined. So with that being said, we'll move on to other things. Witch stones are a divination tool we created as part of our practice that deals with what we call concrete stones, specific types and kinds of energy, and conceptual stones, things and ideas about witchcraft, which can be read with either a seen or an unseen meaning. Recently, we have developed a set of oracle cards using this information. We would like to introduce you to one of these stones right now.
In today's spotlight, we'll be looking at the witch stone Full Moon. Concrete stones focus on a specific physical energy rather than a concept, and the second four concrete stones are the four phases of the moon. The first witch stone is the full moon. It displays a pictograph of a white circle representing the moon shining in the night sky, illuminating a world full of magic. For those of us who walk the path, each phase of the moon is associated with different energies for personal, spiritual growth, and development. Full moon energy correspondences include intuitive awareness, and establishing connections, bringing things to fruition and harvesting, obtaining knowledge and accumulation of goals, and all types of magic. It is also the time when things come together and lead to the fulfillment of your spell work. The seen energy for the full moon stone in a reading is an apex, an achievement, and fulfillment. To come to an apex is to reach the highest point, and that matches to the light energy of the moon. You may recognize an achievement or manage the fulfillment of commitments made to yourself or others. You may reach goals or complete things. There can be a sense of relief that things have come together. The unseen energy for the full moon stone in a reading is an apex, unseen creation,
and unexpected results. You may not be aware of reaching the apex of energy for some reason, and this can cause different things in your life. You may reap the rewards of an unseen creation. There may be some unexpected results to your magic, often giving you what you most need instead of what you thought you wanted. You may feel slightly unsettled because of being surrounded by the unexpected.
Before we go, we'd like to present you with a tip or trick or witchy hint, just something to make your day go better, because we live in a mixture of the magical and the mundane.
Today's witchy hint is, don't put your new crystals in water, especially salt water, to cleanse them of some kind of energy. Many of us get the idea that we need to get rid of all of the energy in a crystal or any other item we buy before beginning to work with it. We hear about how there's energy in production and shipping and people handling the stone in a store before you buy it and so on and so forth. What you really want is to be able to return it to its own natural energetic state. The cleansing process is much easier than it seems for most things. However, we're talking about crystals today. The big thing is don't immerse them in salt water or water, which is often suggested in things that you read as the best way to cleanse anything before you use it. Many crystals can be ruined by exposure to water or salt water because they can cause changes in properties, the color, it can melt, all sorts of things can happen. The biggest thing when working with any new tool or other crystal is kind of to ask what it wants you to do. Very often it will tell you, you don't have to bother to cleanse me at all. It's fine. However, if you're more comfortable, I have found the best way to prepare a crystal for use is to put it next to the earth for a while. I have a little pot that I keep in the corner of my room away from direct sunlight that has some dirt in it, and I'll just set a new crystal on top of it for a couple of weeks and leave it alone to reset itself. I set it in indirect light instead of in moon or sunlight because direct light is not good for a lot of different rocks as well. After all, rocks come from being buried deep within the earth, and they're not exposed to light on a regular basis until we dig them up. However, the point is, if you feel the need to cleanse your crystals in any way, try this method as opposed to one that could damage it and cause it not to function in the way it wants to or the way you want it to. Well, it looks like the coffee cups are empty for this week. We hope you join us again next Tuesday, but you can find us at our website, twoyoungcrones.com. That's the number 2, Young Crones, all one word.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram, and our Twitter handle is @twoyoungcrones. Check out our merch at our Teespring store. We also have a Patreon account called the Young Crones Cafe, where you can support the podcast if you enjoy our efforts.
Until then, remember, we are witches who work with energies to affect change.
We are believers in both immanent and transcendent divine.
We are celebrants of the passage of the solar and lunar cycles.
We are hedgewalkers who pass back and forth between the worlds of the magical and the mundane.
We are seekers of knowledge.
We are walkers of a spiritual tradition we call the path. So mote it be.